It's time for Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area.
Well, the American Red Cross continues with blood donations across the country, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the program today Patrick Connor, who is an account manager, donor recruitment manager, actually, with the American Red Cross. Patrick, good to be with you.
Thank you for having me today.
American Red Cross blood donations, it's a year-round thing, isn't it?
The need for blood is constant. I have said that repeatedly, and it doesn't change. So yes, every year, every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. So the need is constant, and the Red Cross is one of the largest suppliers of blood products across the country, and every day we strive to reach the goals that we need to in order to meet patient needs. So, it's that need is constant.
You need all types of bloods too, don't you?
Correct. And the types of blood that are out there, and a lot of folks know this, but some don't. It's A, B, and O, but there's A positive, A negative, B negative, O negative. O negative being a universal donor type. All patients could accept the donation, a blood donation from an O negative donor. So O negatives are really important, but all blood types are needed all the time for a lot of different reasons. There are different types of donations that people can make. They can make whole blood donations, which includes the red cells, platelets, and plasma that are contained within the blood. They can make a red cell donation, or what we call power reds. And power reds, that donation is where a donor will give just the red cells alone. And then there's plasma donations and platelet donations. So there's different types. So we call it a right type donation based on the need of the patient.
So who determines how that donation process is? Doctors or the staff there?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's need on all levels. I'll give you an example. For platelets. Platelets have a shelf life of about 5 days. Once it's outside the body, it needs to be used within 5 days. Unfortunately, there are a lot of cancer patients throughout the country, and cancer patients tend to use more platelets than anyone else. So because cancer patients seem to be on the rise, the need for platelet donations are there. So that's one facet. When it comes to whole blood and power red donations, that really is based on projections by hospitals throughout the country. They'll say, we expect during the month of October that we're going to have X number of births. And of those births, some of those will have some complications where they'll need blood. So they factor that in. There's always the probability that there will be serious accidents. And there's going to be massive loss of blood in some of these accidents. That's kind of anticipated to make sure that blood is available for those patients who need it. Now, as an example, in a situation where there's an incident that requires a blood on the spot, most trauma units, ambulances will have O negative blood on that unit when they go out to meet the accident victim. And that needs to be O negative blood. And the reason is O negative is a universal donor. And in the field, they may not have time to type the blood and have the right type of blood. So if it's an A positive victim, they would have to guess to have A positive blood on the ambulance. So it's safer to have O negative. If there's ever a shortage, that's usually where it starts, with O negative, because it is it's used a lot in emergency situations where there's blood loss. So there's projections throughout the process, and that's how they come up with the totals. And my job and the job of all of my Red Cross counterparts is to try to meet the projections in terms of blood donations or blood collections when we have blood drives. So that's why I'm glad we're having an opportunity to talk about this, because, you know, a lot of folks don't realize how important it is to have blood available for victims of accidents or victims who need who are needing surgeries or are going through cancer treatments. That blood is always going to be needed until they figure out how they can make it or grow it or buy it at a store. It has to come from donors. And I think there's a lot of folks out there that get it, but there's just as many that don't understand how important their blood donations are and the impact it has on the lives of patients, families, friends, you name it.
We're in the early fall. Is that typically a slow period with regard to donations? Do they pick up and go down yearly during different times of the year? I know probably during the summer it's less because people are outdoors or doing different things. This time of year, is it down or up or what?
Well, that's a great point. During the summer, it typically is a little bit more challenging to collect blood, and a lot of times we'll go into an appeal situation where, you know, we're reaching out to donors and asking them, you know, please make the time to come out and make a blood donation. And the reason is, people do get busy. Kids are out of school. Parents are going on vacations. They're doing different things. But when we have that appeal, a lot of people hear it and they come out and they give. So, you know, we try to make people aware that, hey, we really need you to come out and make a blood donation. And sometimes there's a little bit of a lag, like at the beginning of September, where people may have given in July or August, and now they have to wait 56 days before they can give again. So, you know, it's really a balancing act, and we're always looking for new places to host blood drives. We're looking for new partners that can help us promote blood drives, whether it's a Lions Club or a Civitan, any group that is willing to help us collect more blood. That blood is going to be available for patients in need. So, there can be a lag. We collect a lot. The Red Cross collects a lot of blood through schools, through colleges and high schools. So when the summer's out, you know, that collection, about 20% of the nation's supply comes from high schools and colleges. So when school's out, there's a little bit of a hit that happens during that time of year. So we, you know, we're always glad to see students back in and our high school partners stepping up and helping us out. So,
okay, I'm John Q. Public. I hear you, and I say I would like to donate blood. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do?
Okay. Well, one of the things that you can do is go to our website, redcrossblood.org, and there's going to be a search bar in there where you can plug in your zip code and it will show you what drives are available in your area. And you can pick and choose when and where you want to donate. So if you say, I've got time in 2 weeks, you can actually search by time frame and zip code, radius of 10 miles, 25 miles, 50 miles. And you can schedule an appointment that way. And we encourage people to schedule appointments if they can. It works better when there's a commitment on behalf of the donor, when they say, yeah, I'm going to be there. And it helps me as a Red Cross representative to know that that blood drive is healthy and can meet its obligations that we set for our hospital partners. So once you make an appointment, I always recommend that donors prepare, and they prepare in a couple different ways. For iron, there's iron-rich foods that is that complete list is on the redcrossblood.org website. But it's things like red meats, nuts, spinach, green leafy vegetables. Raisins are really good. And, you know, if someone wants to start a regimen of iron supplements, we recommend that they go with like a Flintstones chewable vitamin. It's really kind of geared towards kids, but the iron in those Flintstones chewables actually absorb better. People can absorb them more easily. So, you know, prepare yourself by getting your iron levels up, because that's one of the things that the Red Cross will check for during the donation process, is they'll check your iron level to make sure that a blood donation by the donor is going to be safe for that donor. So, you know, once they prepare, they've made their appointment, they eat right on the day before, they should start hydrating well. And I believe it's about 32 ounces of water that they should consume, and then they, on the day of their donation, they should rehydrate well. They should also eat before they give. So many donors think that it's like giving blood for blood testing at a doctor's office, and they have to fast. That's the worst thing they can do. They should eat and have eaten a couple hours before they give, and they should be well hydrated. So during the process, on the day of the blood drive, they can use one of our apps called RapidPass. RapidPass is a way for a donor to do the pre-donation reading and answer health history questions on a smart device or their computer at work. And it has to be on the date of the blood drive. And there's specific reasons for that, but on the day of the blood drive, they can use RapidPass, do the pre-donation reading, and answer health history questions prior to attending the drive. They should either print out a QR code, or they'll have a QR code that will be on their phone. When they get there, they'll sign in. If they've done RapidPass, they don't have to do the reading, but let's say they haven't. Then they would have some pre-donation reading, which asks questions about, have you traveled? Are you on medications? Lifestyle choices, those types of things. And then the donor will go back into health history. They'll do a mini physical where they'll check heart rate, blood pressure, your iron level, and your temperature. If you've done RapidPass, the staff simply scans that QR code. And I've seen people get in and out of a health history booth in 5 minutes. It speeds up the process that much. So when they do that, then the Red Cross staff will ask them from which arm they'd like to make their donation. You make that pick. And for a whole blood donation, the actual donation process takes 5 to 10 minutes. And then when you're done, we put a Band-Aid on you, wrap up your arm, and tell you to go eat some cookies and drink some juice.
And you have to wait, 56 days, you say, before you can do it again?
That's right. 56 days for whole blood. If a person is a power red donor, it's 112 days. Now, I'm a power red donor. I'm an O positive. And for power reds, you know, we look to recruit A negative, B negative, O positive and O negative blood types. And the reason for that is, if you have a negative after your blood type, that means if you're an A negative, your blood can go to both A negatives and A positive recipients. Same with B negative. O positive, my blood can go to O positives, which is like 36% of the population, go to A positives, which is 35%, so we're already up to 71, and then B positive, which I think is around 8 to 10. So around 80% of the population, the recipient population, can accept my blood type. And that's why we like to recruit O negatives, O positives, A negatives, B negatives for red cell donation. Now, if they do donate red cells, they have to wait 112 days, and that's just 56 days twice. But here's something that, again, and I want to try to inform people as best I can. When a person donates, the Red Cross wants to make sure that that donation is safe. And that's why they do the physical. That's why they check the iron, because if your iron level doesn't make it, doesn't reach the threshold that's required, then it's not safe for that donor to give. Some people get upset that they can't give, or they might think they're anemic. That's not necessarily the case. It's just that we want to make sure that the donation is safe for that donor. Now, when a person gives whole blood, it's the equivalent of a pint of fluid that they're donating. A person can recover the fluids that were donated within 24 to 48 hours if they hydrate well. The red cells that are taken during those donations, it takes about 30 days for a donor to recover the red cells that were donated. So you still have another 26 days to kind of beef it up and you know, eat your spinach and eat your red meats and the nuts and the raisins, so that on the next donation, 56 days later, you're good to go. So a red cell donor, or excuse me, a whole blood donor can donate 6 times a year. A red cell donor can donate 3 times a year. And that's how it works.
And again, if you want to donate blood out there in the listening public, just go to the Red Cross website. Is there a blood donation category that they can go to there?
Yes.
On the site?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yeah. And I tell you, if anybody wants to learn more about donating blood, they should go to Red Cross Blood. One word, redcrossblood.org. It has so much information in there. It talks about first-time donors, how they can prepare, what they can expect. It breaks down what each donation is typically used for, so that they can better understand, you know, why their blood donation is so important. So, and just to speak just briefly about the hurricane situation on the Eastern Seaboard. A lot of times, those types of situations don't really create an additional need for blood, because there's not a lot of trauma that's involved in situations like that. What really matters is what people are going through. There's a lot of blood collection sites over there, and just as an example, there were nearly 200 blood drives that were canceled because of Hurricane Florence. Now, with those 200 blood drives, that's about 5,200 uncollected blood donations. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the need is constant. There are people out there that still need to go through cancer treatments. There are still mothers out there that are going to have babies that are going to experience complications. None of that changes. The only thing that changes is blood collection is down because of these natural events. So that's why we encourage people to please step up and roll up your sleeves and give blood. The need is constant. Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. And we hope that people will be encouraged to go out and make that blood donation. So find a place to donate and give. And ask a friend to give.
Well, thanks for being with us. And hopefully the folks out there will give the gift of life and give blood in the near future. Patrick, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
You have been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area. If you or your organization have issues and information affecting your community and would like to be a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by email, wako@dlcmediainc.com, phone 618-943-3354, fax 618-943-4171, or regular mail, WAKO Community Issues, 13799 U.S. Highway Business 50, Lawrenceville, Illinois, 62439.